City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to Windy City Queer Cast, show number 350. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
And it is a funny ladies, ha-ha, kind of day-day.
Hee-hee.
Yep. We went to go see Kate Clinton last night at the Center on Halsted, a part of their new women's programming. And she's so lovely and delightful, don't you think?
She is. Smart, funny,
little
cute,
thing.
Self-effacing. She's a little spark plug.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen her live?
Compact. You know what? I feel like I have, and I can't remember when.
Yeah.
So maybe I haven't. Maybe I just have imagined that I've seen her because I've, you know, heard of her and read about her and
seen her on TV.
Yeah, she's been all over New York and myriad things, so maybe she just seems familiar to me.
It's really interesting because she's such a political commentarian. Is
that commentator?
Commentator. That's the word. Thank you.
Or commentarian.
I like commentarian.
Like octogenarian.
She's not an octogenarian.
She's not. I know.
Slap you through this podcast.
She's 60.
Well, that wouldn't be sep. That would be seven.
You're
making her much older.
Sexogenarian.
Ooh, she probably would really like that.
She probably would like
that. Homogenarian. A sexo-homogenarian.
Homomentum is a word she used yesterday, which I liked. She should copyright that.
She should copyright. She probably has.
Maybe she has.
She's savvy. She's got that really savvy girlfriend of hers.
Irva Shivayed.
Mm-hmm. And I love that they got invited.
Smarty Pants McGee's.
Yeah, I love that they got invited to the White House and that the two of them were like the power couple. They were at the Indian White House thing when the people who crashed the party
were there. Yeah, they were at the White House crasher event.
I love that. I love that. Why don't we get the invitation to the White House? I want us to be the lesbian couple that like walks into the White House and you look down on... How tall is Obama? Do you know?
He's got to be a tall drink of water. I would imagine he's 6'2".
I met him and I actually don't even know. I can't remember.
6'2"? 6-something?
Yeah, he's probably... He's, and she's tall.
Tall. She's a linebacker.
She is
that, Michelle Obama. I would not want to meet her in a dark alley.
Yeah.
She would whoop some white girl ass. She really would.
Yeah.
She has a fierceness about her that really kind of terrifies me.
Yeah, I think she wears the pants in that family. I've said that before.
Probably wears more.
More than the pants?
More than the pants.
We've also been in, and we are, we're going to a lot of shows in this week and in this past week, and we'll talk about a show we're about to go to, because our guest today is who we're very excited to go see. But we've been watching a lot of these awards shows because, you know, 'tis the season for the gays. It's the high holidays, the Golden Globes, the SAGs, the Grammys, the Oscars, all coming down.
The boring, 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 vain-seeking, list-making awards shows.
Are we just getting old and jaded? Because we've always...
No,
you and
I think I've always been
the,
old and jaded.
No. We've always loved award shows. We've
I haven't loved
this.
An award show for a number of years. And I keep watching them in the hopes somehow, again, the definition of insanity, doing something over and over again and expecting a different result. I expect them to be different, and they're not. They keep getting worse and worse and worse.
What's worse about them?
That they have nothing to do with the shows, nothing to do with inspiring other actors, nothing to do with the quality of the work. It's all about thanking your attorney and your team of people, and your, it's just so prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that feels spontaneous, that feels fun, that feels, you know, about anything other than themselves and getting the next deal. It's just sad and depressing to
me. But Sandra Bullock...
Unless someone's boob falls out or someone trips or there's a few hotties.
Yeah.
There's a few speeches that seem
Helen
less than...
Helen Mirren is looking gorgeous at each one of these. Takes my breath away. I put the camera on pause. And we love seeing the Modern Family woman.
Oh, yes.
On all of these.
Vergara.
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 Sophia.
She has been a highlight. She has been the only thing that has kept my tank, you know, moderately full watching this. Just in hopes that they're going to swing back to her.
Swing.
Back
it's
to
very,
her.
Very funny. But
my name is Lupita Vergara, and I am an actor.
And I am a Colombian actor. She's unmistakably ahuga hot. I mean, she is just, the eyes pop out of
good jeans.
Both of our heads.
Good
yes.
jeans.
And nice lacs, too.
What?
You
know? What? Nice lacs?
Nice slacks, too. Never mind. You didn't go there with me.
Oh, I thought you said lacs, and I was like, I don't know, even know what you mean by that.
No, nice lacs. But here's the big moment that wasn't, I don't think, on television, was that the Critics' Choice Awards, Sandra Bullock and Meryl Streep both tied. And Sandra Bullock was second to get her award. And when she ran up on stage, she ran over and kissed Meryl Streep. Looked like she was going to suck Meryl Streep's face. Came at her with, like, mouth wide open. And I thought, well, now we're going to have something to write home about. It was a little, it fizzled out after that.
But it was a nice, spontaneous moment.
I think Sandra Bullock has given us some of the better moments. And because
she has.
That, I kind of want her to win. I kind of wish she and Meryl could both win and weren't in the same category, because they're really the only two people I've enjoyed hearing give speeches.
Yeah, that's true. Robert Downey had a kind of funny speech.
Yeah, at the Globes. I don't know. I just think that Sandra Bullock really doesn't belong of this world. And as opposed to Drew Barrymore and some other people who kind of are like, oh my God. Like, we don't know you're a Barrymore, that you probably haven't, you've been waiting forever to claim your rightful
line. I love Drew Barrymore, but it's like, get your shit together. You know, it's not brain surgery. You just won a goddamn award.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a fucking deal. Like, say something nice, thank a few people, say something inspiring. This is not a Nobel Peace Prize speech.
Right.
I'm so, just God almighty. Like, just get through it, people. Yeah. It's a vain award.
Yeah. But I love
Here's your $20 million and here's a bronze naked man. Thank you very much.
It's with, like, a penis.
With a penis or a pack.
Or
it's
a
more
pack.
Of a pack.
It's more of a pack.
Than a
true appendage.
Right.
I just think that Sandra Bullock has brought a freshness to
she
the whole
has.
Thing that I've really
she
enjoyed.
She really has.
I'd like to hang out with her.
I would too.
I think she'd be a cool gal to have over. We should invite her over. I've always been more of a Bullock than a Roberts fan. You know, there was kind of the Ryan Bullock Roberts time period, the Meg Ryan, Julia Roberts, Sandra Bullock. And I really have always kind of liked the Sandra Bullock.
She has an authenticity to her.
She's a Southern girl.
It seems
I know Julia
not
is
of
too,
that
but
world,
she's not really.
That she is kind of, you know, crashed.
Yeah, she's living with her tattooed, you know, big car riding guy with a bunch of dogs that she's rescued and
tripod
her farm
dogs.
In
yeah.
Texas and... Just kind of.
Is it Texas?
I think she's outside of Austin. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So she's living down yonder land. Well, just look, snap out of it, all you actors that are nominated this year. And some of you say something that inspires us, because otherwise we aren't going to watch and you're going to stop. We're going to stop televising those damn award shows. And because if you lose the gays and you lose the actors watching, who do you have watching? So think about it, folks. Inspire the actors. Do something fabulous and fun for the gays. And I think the Grammys will be interesting. I'm excited to see how they turn out this weekend. And Lady Gaga performing and Beyonce. And that'll be fun. But we'll see.
We'll see.
We have a really great show for you today. One of my favorite comedians. I remember coming out and kind of
when I was coming out, I think, was when I first started seeing Paula Poundstone do any television specials. I had never seen her live. I don't think I've ever seen Paula live, if I think about it. Definitely have interviewed her throughout the years, have seen her specials on the comedy shows or at different appearances she's made on Jay Leno, and she was obviously a mainstay there. Wondering if she'll talk about that this weekend. Because when we recorded this interview last week, everything hadn't gone down yet. But Paula Poundstone on the show, she's coming to town. She has two shows. She's going to be at the Center East in Skokie and then at the Mac in DuPage and Glen Ellen. Great venues. Kelly and I will be at Center East going to see her. And so Paula Poundstone on the show today.
P squared. Love her. Always loved her. Love her.
She's got such a great humor about her.
She really does.
And she had some troubles, and she has kind of come out smelling like a rose. And I think
how she smells. Well, maybe we'll find out when we meet her at Skokie Ellen or wherever we're going.
We're meeting her in Skokie, but she's also going to be in Glen Ellen.
Oh, okay.
Maybe she'll smell different in Glen Ellen than she does in Skokie. Plus, there is a lot of news going on. You know, the Prop 8 trial continues on in California, also what's happening in some other states, and what is going on in the entertainment scene. Theater is starting to abound, folks. You will hear a lot of shows that want our butts in the seats, and so many of these shows, so good, and theater's really heating up. And if you did not pick up Windy City Times last week, you can download last week's issue. It is our election guide, as election is coming up if you're in the Chicago area. Also, it's our winter theater preview. So lots of theater and dance and arts going on. You and I are going to go see the Trokes this Wednesday night. So there's just so much fun stuff to go see and be a part of in Chicago. So if you're still bitching about the weather, go get somewhere into a performance space and sit back and enjoy and be entertained.
Get your park in, go.
That's about the best we can do. Kirk and I are going to give you the news after this.
Hi there, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Lambda Legal recently welcomed M. Drew Levasseur as its transgender rights attorney. Levasseur was a staff attorney at the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund, served in the Massachusetts Superior Court, and co-founded the Jim Collins Foundation, which raises money to fund gender reassignment surgeries.
The U.S. Supreme Court will decide if the 138,000 people who signed the Referendum 71 petitions in Washington state should have their names made public. Referendum 71 is meant to overthrow a new domestic partner law that benefits same-sex couples. Gay rights organizations have vowed to post signers' names on the internet, and the referendum supporters fear harassment if the public knows their names.
GLSEN, the Matthew Shepard Foundation, and the Trevor Project are among 100 finalists in Chase Community Giving, a campaign by Chase and Facebook to award $5 million to charities voted on by Facebook users. The top vote getter receives $1 million, while five runners-up receive $100,000 each.
HRC has released a free iPhone app for its Buying Free Quality Guide. This app will allow shoppers to access the guide as they enter the store to see how hundreds of popular U.S. brands are rated based on the business's treatment of their GLBT employees.
Beginning in 2010, the Obama administration has listed gender identity among the classes protected by federal equal employment opportunity policies. The inclusion of gender identity in federal EEO policies is a very clear statement that the federal government will not discriminate based on gender identity.
The anti-gay organization Focus on the Family will air a televised ad during the Super Bowl on February 7th. The commercial will feature senior University of Florida quarterback Tim Tebow, a self-proclaimed virgin who is known for his strong Christian beliefs, and his mother. Focus on the Family has not revealed the exact content of the ad.
In Sea Caucus, New Jersey, three firefighters who were implicated in alleged harassment against a gay couple may be reinstated. The jury awarded the couple $2.8 million for harassment they suffered while living next to the North End Firehouse. They also received $2 million to cover legal fees.
Senator John McCain's wife, Cindy, and daughter, Megan, have shown their support for same-sex marriage. Cindy and Megan had duct tape over their mouths and no hate, written on their cheeks, a reference to Prop 8. The senator said he respects the views of members of his family.
In Georgia, teacher Randolph Ford lost his job after being arrested for allegedly putting out a hit on a student he believed was gay. Ford supposedly pulled the student, who was 16, out of class and asked him about his sexual orientation after seeing him dancing with another male student. A few days later, Ford reportedly asked a classmate to put a hit on that same student.
The 20th World Conference of GLBT Jews will be held August 13th through 15th in L.A. on the UCLA campus. See la2010.org for more.
The Indiana Senate Judiciary Committee passed Senate Joint Resolution 13 by a 6-4 vote. The measure, also known as the Marriage Discrimination Amendment because it would ban same-sex marriage in the state, is now eligible for consideration by the entire Senate. Although it's expected to pass a GOP-controlled Senate, it's also expected to fail in the Democrat-controlled House.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom has criticized President Obama's stance on same-sex marriage as fundamentally inexcusable. Newsom said, "It's fundamentally inexcusable for a member of the Democratic Party to stand on the principle that separate is now equal, but only on the basis of sexual orientation. We've always fought for the rights of minorities and against the whims of majorities."
In world news, U.S. Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin and Congressmen Jared Polis and Barney Frank were joined by more than 90 of their colleagues in sending letters to President Obama and the Ugandan president regarding Uganda's Anti-Homosexuality Act of 2009. The members of Congress called the proposed measure, which increased the penalty for same-sex sexual acts to life in prison, among other things, the most extreme and hateful attempt by an African country to criminalize their GLBT community.
In England, secondary schools will receive copies of a film that will teach that anti-gay bullying is not acceptable. The film, entitled Fit, is an adaptation of a Stonewall play that follows six teenagers of all sexual orientations at a dance club.
The Mr. Gay China pageant, the first competition of its kind in the country, was shut down an hour before it was scheduled to begin by police. Several of the competitors were going to come out of the closet. State-run media have reported that there are approximately 30 million homosexuals in China.
In Sweden, newspaper editors have banned advertisements featuring three nude lesbians. The items used to promote diversity show a woman grabbing another woman's breast from behind while a third woman kneels in front, kissing her torso. Editors refused to publish the ads, saying they satisfied a cliched male fantasy about lesbians.
In Russia, the Moscow City Court upheld a lower court ruling that rejected what would have been the country's first same-sex marriage. The lower body, the Tverskoy Court, sided with the registry officials who said that lesbian couple Irina Shapitko and Irina Fyedotova Fiet could not marry. The couple did wed in Canada last October.
And in entertainment news, Ellen DeGeneres and Tim Gunn were recently named People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA's, 2009 Woman of the Year and Man of the Year. DeGeneres went vegan in 2008.
Ryan Murphy, the openly gay man behind Glee, said that he is casting a new gay character for that hit show. He is looking for three new characters, including one who will be a boyfriend to high-voiced Kurt. Murphy said that the new gay twosome will be a power couple. Also, out actor Neil Patrick Harris is in talks to be a guest star.
The GLBT community will be represented in the new season of TV's Amazing Race. Lesbian couple Karen Rosenfeld, age 47, a consultant, and Brandy Snow, age 40, an actress, will be among the teams competing for $1 million. The new season starts February 14th.
Judy Kramer, the mastermind behind the hit show Mamma Mia, is now creating a show, Viva Forever, based on the Spice Girls and their music. Simon Fuller, the girl group's ex-manager and creator of American Idol, will work with Kramer on the show.
And music sensation Adam Lambert is reportedly back with his ex, Drake Libre. The two ended their relationship last January, but were recently spotted at Hollywood's Avalon Club, sitting at a private table with friends where the two of them could not keep their hands off each other.
And that's the weekend news, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 25th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Court Theater presents The Year of Magical Thinking, based on the award-winning novel by Joan Didion and starring Mary Beth Fisher, a fiercely intelligent, courageous, and witty exploration of loss. For tickets about the Chicago premiere of The Year of Magical Thinking, visit courttheater.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com, now extended through March 28th at the Apollo Theater.
The Harris Theater hosts two of Broadway's biggest names in March. Stephen Sondheim celebrates his 80th birthday during a special Q&A and conversation with Gary Griffin on March 4th. And Chicago native Tony Award-winning actress Christine Ebersole performs a concert of Broadway favorites one night only, March 25th. Tickets for both shows are going fast. Visit harristheaterchicago.org.
It's Harlem in the spring of 1943. Elizabeth and Quilly are sisters of a certain age, sharing their quiet lives together. But when they take in a handsome young boarder, their entire world changes abruptly. Don't miss The Old Settler, this poignant family portrait. Tickets are selling quickly. Order yours today by logging on to writerstheater.org.
After a sellout show in 2007, Paula Poundstone returns to Center East at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie, Friday, February 5th. And at the MAC at the College of DuPage in Glen Ellen on Saturday, February 6th. Catch this comic genius in action. Tickets on sale for Paula Poundstone at NorthShoreCenter.org and at TheMAC.org.
The Brother Sister Plays by out playwright Terrell Alvin McCraney is the theatrical event of the Chicago winter, says the Chicago Tribune. Three interconnected plays directed by Tina Landau, which the New York Times raves, you experience something rare, a new, authentically original vision. Visit steppenwolf.org for tickets to the Brother Sister Plays.
About Face Theater presents the long-anticipated production of What Once We Felt, written by Anne-Marie Healy and directed by Chrissy Vanderarken. At the Center on Halsted, playing February 3rd through March 6th, visit aboutfacetheater.com for tickets. The Sara Lee Foundation is the exclusive corporate sponsor.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Cheyenne Jackson, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Paula Poundstone is out on the road again with her new show, I'm Gonna Be Here, bringing the funny from coast to coast, heading from Wisconsin to Florida, Oregon to Illinois, Connecticut to California, and everywhere in between. And during these times of economic fears, stagnant health care, and Prop 8 trials, how do you bring out the funny? Well, you put Paula Poundstone out on tour. That's what you do, because this is the gal to take the simple things in life, such as her kids or her cats, or the politics of the day, to help make us us laugh. So we're thrilled to have her here on the Queercast. Hey, Paula, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm great. Man, you have picked such an interesting time to be traveling all over the place with the crazy state of travel in the U.S. right now. How are you going to cope?
Oh, I sleep through every flight, so I have no tension whatsoever. Do you know, though, that Friday morning? I was at the, I don't know what date it was. But it was the 8th of January.
Yeah.
I was at Chicago Airport, and they were still playing Christmas music, which I guess is to just further incense any Muslim extremists that might be just about to board a flight. It even really shoves, the believers over the edge by a certain day.
Yeah, really, should they only be able to play like Winter Wonderland and Let It Snow, maybe? And even then, we would probably go ballistic.
Well, I mean, I love Christmas music, but they did start really, really early this year.
Yeah.
Didn't they? I mean, I think it's because of the economic woes. Stores somehow think that if they can put it in your head, you know, to Christmas shop earlier... so they started playing the Christmas music. I swear, they had run out of the real classics by November. And then they were reaching into that grab bag of not so classic, like the Katie Couric Hip Hop Christmas, which is one of my favorites.
I've not heard that. I really hope my editor can find a cut of it and put it in this show now.
Well, I'm hoping so. I always say that just because John Madden recorded a version of The Little Drummer Boy doesn't mean people have to play it. That's what I always say.
So the holidays are kind of over, but we are into this new decade, this new 2010 or 2010 or 2010, as I like to call it.
I just crossed out an O with a 1 today. Well, I got to the third digit before I made the mistake in today's writing the date at the top of a page.
Yeah, that takes a little bit of time. Are you a resolution maker? Did you make any for this 2010?
No, I gave up. I gave up on Christmas resolutions when... New Year's resolutions, excuse me. My daughter trumped me a few years ago. I was my oldest daughter tends to have some behavior problems, and some of them really for just since the beginning, issues with honesty, big problem. So I remember, I think she was in maybe the fifth grade. This is a while back, and I was explaining to her. One night in a lecture format, I was explaining about this idea of New Year's resolutions. And I said, you know, maybe this would be a good time to, you know, make honesty something that you want to stick to. And, it was coming up on that time of year anyways. And so I was talking to her about this. And I think it was soon thereafter that I must have read a paper that they had written or something in their classroom. Somehow this came to my knowledge, which was that they had made New Year's resolutions in their classroom. Mm-hmm. And that her resolution was to not play basketball in the living room anymore. Now, here's the beauty of it. To the best of my knowledge, she had never played basketball in the living room. She did not play basketball. So I just thought it was so genius to swear off doing something that you had never done. It's like checking into a rehab when you're not a heroin addict.
Yeah.
And just saying to the others, you know what, from this day forth, look at my strength, look at my resolve. But really since that time, that's when New Year's resolutions fell apart for me.
Yeah, it's like being a child and giving up Brussels sprouts for Lent or something like
precisely.
That, right?
Exactly, yes.
I love it.
The things that she's not doing now are just phenomenal. She's a challenge, that one.
So
now she's 18.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah.
She's still a challenge at 18. Don't they start kind of getting some clarity after 18 or no?
No, she's just really skilled at it now. No. she was never... the thing is, there's always been such nuance to the ways she does it. You know, it's not all necessarily verbal. It's what's, it's political. That's what mm-hmm. it is. It's, she's almost a gifted politician. It's what, it's lying of omission, lying of, sort of inference, one of her things she's most skilled at is the W questions. Mm-hmm. If you ask her a where, she'll tell you a what. If you ask her, you don't even bother asking why, because that's just like banging your head against the wall. But she just always slips one W question over and answers it.
She sounds like she might be our first female president, don't you think?
I mean, there's no question she has a gift. It's just, exactly. It's just a matter of having her use it in the right, you know, in the right direction, for the right team. It's all the same diabolical skills.
Yeah.
They just have to be used on the right team, and then we're, you know, it's like, it's like the Democrats' form of peace now is to fight in Afghanistan. Whereas fighting in Iraq was bad, fighting in Afghanistan good. I don't know why.
Oh, man. Well, talk to me a little bit, because you were the first female comedian to perform at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'm assuming that's a tough and intimidating job, but with this administration, is it so delicate that it's hard to poke fun at it, or hard to make it funny as you're going out there from state to state, and some are a little more red, some are a little more blue, some have higher unemployment, some, you know, have less health care?
You know, this may be why I'm not, I'm not a revered household name, which is that I pay no attention to, it's not that I shouldn't say it like that. I remember years ago when I used to do the Tonight Show a lot with Jay Leno, and he would say to me, he'd say, well, if you make fun of the Republicans, you got to make fun of the Democrats. Mm. And I would say, no, you don't.
Yeah.
I would say, you do. I don't.
Right.
Because I'm just me. I don't have to appeal to any particular group any particular way. But here's also the difference between me and some other performers, which is that I don't insist that I'm right.
Yeah.
I only tell you that that's how I see it. It doesn't mean that I'm absolutely right, or that you couldn't say something to me that would make me go, oh, oh, well, I didn't know that. And I'm also not, I'm not a college professor. I'm not a political analyst. I'm not instructing people or teaching. My sole job is to entertain. And sometimes I do that better than others, by the way. I mean, some nights.
Often, oftentimes
night.
You do that better than others.
No, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, some nights I do it better than other nights.
Well, I can say that because, you know, here's the thing. I think you hit the nail on the head, and you should know you better than anybody else knows you. But, you know, there's this ability you have to kind of give an observation and float it out there. Take it or leave it, and we know it's yours. And that's why I'm really enjoying following you on Twitter, because you are such a queen of the one-liners. So to me, this 140 character format really is like your forte.
Well, thank you very much. I work oddly hard at the 140 character format. It's actually been this little not that I'm a grammarian, but by any means, I wish that I were. I think that it's a very important skill to have, but mine are limited.
Uh-huh.
I have my daughters sometimes on the way to school. As I'm driving them, I'll say, okay, I have a tweet thing I want to put up, and of course I can't do it while I'm driving, so I hand the little handheld thing over to one of the girls, and I first of all I tell them the whole thought, which is often more than 140 characters, and then we edit, and we try to make it say what I meant to say, the truth is, my goal is to say it succinctly and have the punctuation in the proper place to do that.
Mm-hmm.
However, because of the 140 character cutoff, sometimes, for the sake of the joke, we will throw out for space, punctuation. Like, I'll sometimes leave a period off. If it was just down to one character, then I feel that you just have to allow the period to be assumed.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually is a fun little editing project for us, and probably it's certainly more writing than the school has asked of them in the cumulative, 6 years that they've been there.
Oh, my gosh. Now, tell me, are you enjoying this new wave of new media? I mean, the Facebook, the Twitter. You said
no.
You enjoy the Twitter, but
no.
Are you more of a Luddite? Do you prefer just to have the microphone and talk?
I much prefer. I received some gifts at the actually, it was for my birthday. I received some gifts, and I just wrote some letters that are being mailed out today to thank people for those gifts. And each of the letters, by the way, was handcrafted. None of them were copies of another letter. I didn't push one button to send them off. I really don't like that form of communication. I really think it leaves us all kind of empty. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the goofy Twitter thing, but only for what it is. As a way of actually staying in touch with friends, ew.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, there's something about it that just, I don't know, it just doesn't work for me.
I think the tweets suit you, so I'm one of those people out there who's enjoying, so...
Oh, well, that's nice to hear. I actually, you know, I wrote a book. It's called There's Nothing in This Book That I Meant to Say. And then I wrote three math workbooks with my high school math teacher, which are a series called Math with a Laugh. And I wrote all four of those books by hand.
Right.
Because I really, and people can say, oh, you'd really enjoy the computer. Because at that time, I didn't have one. People can say, oh, you'll really like the computer. It'll make it all so much easier. And the truth is, there's something about the drag on the pen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure it was the same like when someone, you know, first invented, you know, the ink and the quill and paper. Maybe paper it was, you know. I'm sure, you know, they said to other people, you know what, it's so much easier than the cave wall.
Yep.
And I'm sure there were people like me that were just like, you know what, I'm used to the cave wall, I'm happy with the cave wall, let me just keep the cave wall. But then, I am like that.
See, I can only Twitter. The podcast listeners all know that I call Facebook the F word because I really don't want to create community with you and post pictures and invite you all into I'll say anything. I'll say anything on my podcast, but community, I don't know. I like the Twitter.
My problem is, where do you cut it off?
Yeah.
I don't mean it. I mean, in terms of fans and dealing with people that are, you know, audience members that I enjoy, that I do enjoy. I'm saying for a personal, like to me and my, you know, somebody, I don't know where you cut off like the line of communication to. Okay, does it include the guy that, you know, I recently reconnected with that I went to elementary school with? Or is it only, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It would stress me out to say, can I be your friend? I mean, it just seems so pathetic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
there is something about it that's really creepy.
There's a desperation.
But no, I like the part. In fact, I make little films, and I'm enjoying that. It's really hard work, by the way, but I am enjoying it. I made an epic Thanksgiving film.
Ooh,
that required far more skills than I actually have.
I'll go on my girlfriend's Facebook and watch it if it's on your Facebook.
It's on. What is it? It's on YouTube. I have a channel which is oddly titled because my manager did it. She set the account up because I don't know how to. The channel is Smike for Me. SMYKE. 4 and me.
Go figure.
But I think if you just use Paula Poundstone, it'll eventually.
We
get
will
you
put
to
that
it.
On our blog so everybody can see the big the big production of Thanksgiving
film.
Yeah.
I
love
think it. It's worth. I explain really the first Thanksgiving better than it was ever explained in elementary school.
Hey, the Prop 8 trial. I mean, really, everybody's buzzing about that. Is there anything funny about what's going on in California?
California is an embarrassment to the entire nation. When Iowa overtakes California for. You know, sort of, what do you call that? Cutting edge.
Progressive.
I don't know what you want to call it. Progressive, thank you, thinking. Then, and this, by the way, is no criticism of Iowa at all, which is a state that I dearly love. Just poor, silly, stupid California.
But I don't know why we expect more from California. They're so Botoxed and you know, you say one thing, you mean another. I mean, right? Isn't it a plastic state or is it not a plastic state?
Well, it rather is.
I mean, the Iowans, they kind of are the heartland, like us here in the Midwest. I mean, Illinois, I think we're going to get this gay marriage thing. We could be next. Who knows? You know?
You know, personally, I would, if personally, I would like to see marriage eliminated altogether.
Yeah?
I think that it would serve two purposes. It would go a long ways towards bringing about equality for gays.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, it would prevent the making of films like 27 Dresses. So it's a, you know, really it could be an effective brush.
Yeah.
I think it's a stupid idea. Anyways, yeah. I don't know why gays want to get married. It's so that there's not.
They want the choice.
It's like when you were a kid and your sister said they were forming a club.
Yep.
You know, and then it was really a club. It didn't do anything. It was just them.
Yep.
But the very fact that you weren't allowed to join the club was just galling.
Yep.
All they had to do was say that there was a club. There was really no club. There was no nothing. They just said it was a club. And you wanted desperately to be in that club.
Yeah.
But this is the same thing, because I think, you know, the notion that there's somehow sanctity to marriage is just silly.
Yeah. So what's the important issue then for the community? Do you think it is don't ask, don't tell? Do you think it's employment non-discrimination? It's not marriage, obviously, to you.
No, well, it's not that it's not marriage. It's not that it's, no, I think equality is a lovely idea.
Yeah.
I just think it's sad that people have to get married in order to find this equality. So as I say, I mean, I think it should, we should just take it off the table for everybody. I don't know why the state is involved in, you know, soon there's going to be Match.com provided by the state. I look forward to that time.
Talk to me about your big hit that just keeps on going, the NPR show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Are you still enjoying?
I love it. It is so much fun. I'm the luckiest performer in the entire world. You know, I work with all these really, really smart, funny people. I sit in a chair and laugh for a couple of hours at my job. I answer questions badly. For those who don't know, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a weekly news quiz show on NPR. Mm-hmm. And I am not on weekly. I'm part of a three, each show has three panelists, and we kind of rotate. There's probably about, I don't know, 12 or 15 of us. So I'm on about once a month, maybe, and if I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. And it's based out of Chicago.
Yes.
We tape in the basement of the Chase Bank in downtown Chicago. And just really, really fun to do. And of course, I humiliate myself weekly by what I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fascinating what I don't know. And I read the papers, not every week, quite honestly. I'm not much. Normally, I'm not much of a newspaper reader because I read too slow.
Mm.
I still am carrying around a magazine, for that matter, in my carry-on bag about the primary.
Yeah.
So I am a little bit behind in that way.
If it's Vanity Fair, it's okay, because, you know, if you read it cover to cover, it takes a while.
They all take a while.
Yeah.
You know, they are less and less articles and more advertisement as the years go by, which could be, you know, part of their problem. But, mostly I get my news from the, you know, from NPR or from McNeil there. It's hard for me to read a newspaper. I feel a little stupid saying that, but it's true. I just read so slow. The entire event can be over and done with and not even on anybody's lips anymore by the time I finish.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine being on that show alone is kind of like getting up to date and getting, you know, it's almost like being in school.
Yeah, it is.
It is when you listen to it. So any part of being a part of it, you know, you get all of that knowledge and information while having a really, really great time. Do you have a favorite moment on that show?
I don't know. I really enjoyed, there's a section on the show called Not My Job, where there's a little quiz given to someone who's well known.
Yeah, you just had Lucy Lawless on not too long ago.
Yeah, they did. So what they do is they ask the well known person questions on a topic that they're not likely to know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had one time we had I always screw up the guy's name when I go to say it. We had a Supreme Court justice.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time remembering which one it was, but I'll think of it. I have short-term memory loss.
That's okay.
Which is partly why I fail so miserably at the show. But anyways, we he was one of my favorites. First of all, when in my lifetime will I ever again speak to a Supreme Court justice?
Sure,
so it was,
right.
It was a singular opportunity, and I of course sprang at the opportunity to ask important questions like, do they lint lift those robes? Because you know I have 13 cats, and any dark material that I wear, half of my life is spent lint lifting. It's very important. And he didn't know what I was talking about for a minute. And then I asked him, if they provided the robes. Now, I think this is fascinating. They do not.
Mm.
They have to buy their own robe, and they each just bring the one they used to wear.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't you think that's weird?
Well, it's kind of like you have to buy your suspenders if you work at TGI Fridays or something. You know,
well, I think yes,
it's maybe.
Exactly. Well, I mean, when I worked at the IHOP, I had to pay for my uniform, but I didn't have to go out and find it myself. I just had to, you know, reimburse them for the, you know, for the one that the other waitress, I was an IHOP waitress in the late 70s. Uh-huh. And the waitress before me, this had been a time when, you know, short skirts were the rage. And I don't find a short skirt all that helpful in waitressing personally, but I understand that maybe that's why I was never tipped that well. But so the waitress before me that had this uniform had, she not only took the hem up, but she cut the material off to such an extent that there was no hem for me to drop. So instead, just every time I went to pick up the large crate of coffee cups, you know, I just flashed the whole place. You know, there was I won't say that a large group of people waited for that, but it was always embarrassing to me. And plus, I've never worn, like, nylon very well anyways, like, so there would be like I would have a low crotched nylon coupled with a short skirt. It's not a good look.
Carrying hot coffee, it's just a disaster waiting to happen.
Yes, exactly.
So what can we expect from the new tour? I'm gonna be here.
What can we expect? Well, no one gets hurt. It's not a physical show.
Yeah.
No stage diving. I talk about politics. I talk about raising a house full of children. I talk about taking care of a house full of pets. I talk about Abraham Lincoln here and there. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I mention Frank and Joe Hardy because who wouldn't?
Yeah.
like that, I guess.
It's going to be a good, good time. You know, Paula is coming to Chicago. She's actually coming to Skokie, but that's essentially Chicago, at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts Center East Theater, one night only on February the 5th. And if you'd like tickets to that particular show, you can go to centereast.org. We'll have that linked in our show notes. But you can also get info on the tour because, as I said earlier, she is truly hitting so many states in the next few months, really, throughout the spring. And so the tour is probably coming to an area near you. So if you want information on the tour as well as Paula's book, There Is Nothing in This Book I Meant to Say. Anything else on Paula, visit paulapoundstone.com. I highly recommend you follow her Twitter. It's really a great little dose whenever she passes that little electronic device to her kids and they tweet her thoughts in 140 characters. It's a slam dunk. Paula, I hope you stay warm and have safe and uneventful travels while you sleep. And we will look forward to seeing you on a stage very soon.
All right. Thank you so much. It was fun.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Kelly, thanks for hanging with me.
Always a pleasure.
And you know, I think you should be funnier this week since we've been around some of these funny women. You're already pretty funny, but maybe you've picked up a quip or two.
I could evolve.
Yeah. You ever see yourself doing stand-up?
I've thought about it before, but it's too daunting.
Is it?
It's really, really difficult.
I want you and Mitchell to do it.
To be on the spot and to be funny.
Maybe you
would
be
political, to have some depth to your humor that's not merely about just taking the legs off somebody or, you know, to really have meaningful humor.
The gays like it if you take the legs off.
Well, that's true. The gays like any smackdown or slapdown.
I think you and Mitchell could have a stand-up sit-down show. You could sit down and he could stand up.
Oh,
and then you'd be the same height.
Even height.
That would be funny, right?
We could call it even comedy.
Even-handed
comedy.
Even comedy.
Something.
I don't know.
I'll learn something from Paula. She's always so wonderful to watch. So if you guys don't have your tickets yet, she is just a wonderful performer and somebody that's really worth seeing. So go get your ticks.
And we've got more. I seem to be in a bit of an arts spin right now, but there's some amazing queer performers and artists that are bringing things to Chicago, and I'm just kind of ravenous about sitting down and talking with them. Coming up in the upcoming weeks, the new out writer of the brother-sister plays at Steppenwolf, Terrell McCraney, is going to be here.
So exciting.
He is this young African-American gay male who is taking American and, I would have to say, European theater by storm, at least in London and England. They're calling this the theatrical event of the year. I know people who have already seen it are starting to see it, and I sit down with him. Also, Sharon Isbin, the out lesbian classical guitarist. She is probably one of the preeminent guitarists of our time. She's a hot lady. And she's going to be playing the Harris Theater. She did all the music for The Departed, which I didn't know until I was interviewing her and researching her. So amazing, amazing. So just really some great artists coming up on the Queercast. So I hope all of you all have a good week. And download us next time.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.